most important decision that you and I will make today and every day is what we allow to go into our mind. We are the product of our thoughts. Here's the question. How do you filter out the bad ones and dwell on the good ones? That's today on Living on the Edge.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Drewy, and in this program, Chip continues his series, I Choose Peace. Now, just before we get started, let me encourage you to take a second to download Chip's message notes. He's going to touch on a plan that's outlined in more detail in his notes. Now, to do that, just go to livingontheedge.org and click Listen Now. If you're on the app, just tap Fill In Notes. After the teaching, Chip's going to tell you about a great new way to connect with us here at Living on the Edge, so be sure to stay with us for that. Now, if you have a Bible, open it to Philippians chapter 4, and let's join Chip for part 2 of his message, I Choose Peace in a Broken World.
Third, is it right? The word means righteous. It's used in the New Testament to refer to the Father, to Jesus, to God's actions, to God's character. It pictures doing what is right when tempted. You might write the word integrity. And the question you want to ask, is this right or is it wrong? Did I just say the whole truth or a partial truth? Is this what's really clearly I know is true, or is it a white lie? Is it everyone does this on their taxes and that time is coming up, or is it absolutely pure? Is this I'm padding my expenses just a little because I can kind of justify it and I know and get away with it? Or in fact is this integrity? We really love each other, but are we married or are we living together? Is this recreational, just sort of a spicy 49, 50, 51 shades of gray? Or is it just absolutely wrong and immoral and should never be in my house? Just ask yourself. Questions. I actually took these 6 and I put them on one little card with these questions. Before I watch, listen, or think, is it true? Does it honor God? Is it right or wrong? And next, is it pure? This is from the same root word as holy that means to be set apart, means to be free from defilement, sexual and moral purity in thought, word, and deed. And the question you want to ask is, will this cleanse or dirty my soul? Job would say in Job 31:1, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze lustfully for a virgin? David in Psalm 101 about verses 2 and 3, he says, I've committed before you, Lord, to live a blameless life, and I will set no worthless or vile thing before my eyes. Can I just say something and we won't belabor it? If you have a porn addiction, just get help. All the research is that it is as addictive as cocaine, and trying hard and really intending and wanting to break a porn addiction is not something you'll probably do on your own. No one else has. And it produces fears and it multiplies into lies and cover up. And it's no less addicting than if you were sticking a needle in your arm. And it's a pseudo intimacy that will destroy your relationships. And so God's heart would be, I want you to see sex as holy and pure. The Bible says God made it. He loves it. But the marriage bed should be holy. He wants what you watch, not just porn, but the kind of movies. And not just the sexually explicit ones, but what about the ones that they sort of suck us in by, you have this kind of mean guy married to this wonderful gal, and she falls in love with someone who's really not her husband, but he's a nice guy, and she's a nice guy, and he's a jerk, and we find ourselves rooting for them in their affair. And you know what that does? Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, seed planted. The enemy's very shrewd. The battle for your life is not out there. The battle is right here. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but divinely powerful. And we will take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that's why if you have a teenage son, in fact, in our day now, if you have a teenage daughter, You have to open the phones and have a conversation, and you need to do it in the next 24 or 48 hours and sit down and talk about your mind is so precious. And you are so precious. And the kind of addictions and the kind of information and the kind of attacks, no one would take their 12 or 13 or 11-year-old daughter or son or 10-year-old boy and drop them off, you know, like in downtown San Jose in the middle of the night or downtown Oakland and go, hey, I'll catch you later. Have fun. And yet when you don't have filters, when you don't have a conversation, when you haven't talked about these things, it's exactly what you're doing. And our kids are dying. Ask yourself, will this cleanse or dirty my soul? And the next word is lovely. I like this one. Attractive, winsome, beautiful. It pictures things that call forth a response of love and warmth versus bitterness, criticism, and vengeance. This is a call to smell the roses, to look at a rainbow, to watch kids playing in a park, to ponder a pleasant memory, to pause with a warm embrace. Put your feet up and read an encouraging book. Yesterday, I'm very excited. I guess it was Friday. I played golf a couple times. It's so fun. And as I was driving, it was about 6:30 in the morning, all these puffy clouds, and then it was all red and pink behind them. And I was just driving, and it was just like winsome, attractive, admirable. Oh, Lord. And I happened to my phone, you know how these phones work where they just play songs that are on your phone. You never know which is coming up. And out of the blue comes up a song from a 25-year-old young man who's best friends with my son. And he died of cancer at 25. And the song came on, Restore Me. And I thought back of those memories and I thought back of what God has done. And it was just, I just began to ponder his kindness and his sovereignty and his love and beauty and creation. Guess what happened to my emotions? We live close to the ocean. When's the last time you went there? When's the last time you went to the redwoods? Get your faces out of the screens and look at the beauty that God has brought. Ask yourself this question. Will this renew or harden my heart? I had come home and we were going to eat in about 10 minutes and I looked on channel 2 and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, got to channel 4 and PBS, sometimes they'll give you a more documentary sort of position. I found myself disturbed within, sad, angry about the injustice in the world, a sense that the world is completely messed up. Here's the deal. In 10 minutes, everything bad that happened in the globe went on my screen and to me. And I'm telling you, there were hundreds of millions of acts of kindness and children born and people being generous and love given and people caring and kids adopted and food given and fresh water and people pulled out of the sex trade. And all that wonderfulness I didn't see, all I got in 10 minutes was that, and it shaped my thinking. What you allow in your mind the last 30 to 45 minutes before you go to bed and what you allow in your mind the first 30 minutes of your day will shape your subconscious, your mind, your thinking. You're either starving fear and feeding faith, or you're doing the opposite. Finally, he says, that which is commendable, good repute. He says, gracious, admirable is the meaning of the word. It literally means fair speaking. It describes things which are fit for God to hear versus ugly words, false words, and pure words. And the test here is, could I recommend this to someone who looks up to me? Right? Now, you don't, but by the way, if you kind of are thinking, oh my gosh, this would radically change what comes in my house, good. It'll also change your fear, change your emotions, change your kids if you have them. But you don't have to raise your hands on this one. Have you ever been watching something and someone's coming down the hall and before they walk in, you change the channel? Oh, okay. I did that once. We've all been watching something and a little kid is coming in or your mate's coming in or something. And I don't mean that it's terrible, but I'm not comfortable with them watching this. How about this test? Imagine you're sitting on, one of those couches with two or three seats and whatever's coming on your phone, your screen, your TV, the Lord Jesus in his resurrected body shows up and says, hey, Chip, how you doing? Great. I'm just going to relax a little bit and watch this. Great. Mind if I sit down? No, I'd love to have you. Here's the question to ask. Are you comfortable with him sitting next to you watching what you're watching? Are you comfortable with a five-year-old, with a grandchild? He finally summarizes and said, if there's any virtue or praise, in other words, in case I left anything out, it's sort of a think on anything that has the moral excellence and that will inspire and motivate you to love God and to love others. So everything doesn't have to be spiritual. I'm listening to a book called The Last Line. It's the life of Winston Churchill. It's fabulously interesting. So in my car, I mean, it's a book like this. That's why I put it on Audible. I said, I'll never read that. I've got like 6 hours in, and I looked the other day, there's only 31 hours left. But I mean, his courage and what was happening in the war. And I'm listening to another book by John Ortberg on the life you've always wanted. And at night before I go to bed, and you know, it's just 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, I'm reading about the life of Martin Luther. And just all I want to do is, how do I fill my life and my mind with good things? Because I will be the product of my thought life. But it's just not thinking, it's then acting. Habitually practice these things. Habitually practice these things. He says, you've learned and received. You had an appetite and you applied. You heard and saw. I gave instruction and I modeled it. And here's why. Your thought life determines your, write the word, future. I don't know what your hopes are. But I'm going to tell you, your future will be determined by your thought life. The dreams, the passions, the joys, the thoughts. For friends, for family, for work. The scripture in Romans chapter 8, I put it in the Amplified because it's so graphic. Here's a great truth. Follow along. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds, notice the phrase, on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. His will and his purpose. Now, the mind on the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. The mind of the flesh, with its sinful pursuits, is actively hostile to God. It doesn't submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to sinful appetites and impulses, notice, cannot please God. You can't keep putting things in your mind and then in your will, oh God, I want to do this. Transformation always begins with your thinking. Second, how? It's the principle of mind renewal. The principle of mind renewal. It's a verse we hear a lot around here, Romans chapter 12, 2. And I like this again in the Amplified Bible. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed, and notice, not overnight, progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from his series, I Choose Peace. For more information about this series or the ministry of Living on the Edge, please visit our website, livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with the rest of today's talk.
Sometimes in some of these illustrations, they kind of get me because I'm getting older. I've been a Christian a little over 40 years. I didn't grow up as a Christian. I'm still doing the most basic things that I did years ago because I'm still struggling with everything that I'm talking to you about. But what I can tell you is, as I have done what I've talked about, the transformation that I've seen God in my life and those I love and those I've had the chance to help. So I have a little card. You can make your own. Before I watch, listen, or think on it, is it true? Does it honor God? Is it right or wrong? Will this cleanse or dirty my soul? Will this renew or harm my heart? Would I recommend this to someone who looks up to me? Will this bring peace or fear in my life? When I went through this stuff with my back, I had a time to really ponder some big issues and look at some pretty big holes that I felt God was speaking to me. And so there was a lie. I've always been, you know, semi-ADD, you know, A-type personality. But here's a lie I've believed most of my life. I'm a prisoner of the opinions of the important, influential people in my life. I agonize when my best judgment and direction from the Lord is different from theirs. Disagreeing with them will harm our relationship irreparably. So I attempt to please everyone, creating an unhealthy lifestyle. I mean, you could say it a lot easier, like people pleasing. But part of that is an alcoholic father and realizing, you know, you got to keep the peace, and so you learn clues. And so that's on one side of a card, and it says lie, I believe. Then I flip the card over and it says truths. Here's the truth. People love me and are for me and want me to live a life of joy, rhythm, rest, and fruitfulness in all areas of my life. I do not need to prove my worth through hard work or extraordinary productivity. I'm accepted, loved, and greatly valued just for who I am. But that lie pops up. So guess what I do? I read this side of the card, and then I say, stop. And then I turn it over, and I read this side of the card. And you know what I do? I'm setting my mind on the Spirit. What lies do you believe? What cards do you need to make? You would just be shocked at what God will do as you renew your mind. As you turn the page, here's the promise. The God of peace, the God of shalom, will be with you. It's not just you're going to receive his peace, but his blessing, his power, his presence, his provision. He wants to fulfill the desires of your heart. Are you ready for this? Here's the biggest lie you believe. You don't think God is for you. You think you got to measure up. He is so outlandishly for you. In the New Living Bible, Psalm 86, about verse 5 says, it says, oh Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so abounding in unfailing love to all who ask for your help. And I bet I've read that hundreds of times in the last probably 90 days, because I read that and I just getting it from here to here for me is I just have this predisposition, and I know where it came from, is that God's arms are probably kind of a little bit crossed, and now and then his toes tapping, and no matter what I do, well, Chip, that wasn't quite good enough. Here's what you need to do. And that's a lie. And I'm changing. And you can change. And your kids need to change. But you will have to guard your mind like never before. Remember, we started, I asked you a question. Do you want to overcome your fear? Do you? Now, I mean, for real, I want you to go back to, this is what I was afraid of. Do you want to overcome your fear? If you do, then you have to radically change. These things don't come into my house. They don't come into my mind. They don't come on my screen. They don't come on my phone. And they don't come into my kids' or grandkids' lives. This truth is going to start into my mind. I've given you a game plan, 21 minutes of how to spend time with God. That's a good start. It's written out for you. I am so excited that as you take these steps, God will show up in your life like never before. Now, here's the deal. Your emotions aren't going to change overnight. But if you do what we're talking about, I mean, a week you'll go, a little different. A couple, 3 weeks, whoa, a little different. About 30 days, it'll be like, wow. 90 days, people will say, what happened to you? 6 months, 2 years? Those addictions, those anger issues, those I've got to measure up, those things can really change. Lord God, my Savior, my friend, the lover of my soul and the soul of every person in this room and anyone at any time, whoever might watch or listen to this, we praise you. Here's what's true. You are good and you are forgiving. That you are slow to anger. That you are abounding in steadfast, loyal love. And you want the best for us. Lord, there is an enemy that has infiltrated the media and sends messages of death and comparison and immorality. That, Lord, we would just confess. We want to confess corporately our sin of how casual we have been with what we've allowed into the most precious commodity you've given, this mind. And so, Lord, would you help us to say no to that which is evil and say yes. Renew our minds that we could break the power of slavery. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chip will be back in just a minute, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from his series, I Choose Peace. I Choose Peace directly addresses issues like relational conflict, anxious moments, difficult circumstances, financial uncertainty, and tests of faith. So if you or someone you know is struggling in any of these areas, this is a resource you may want to listen to more than once, because I Choose Peace provides practical, biblical answers to what you're dealing with. To order your copy or to send a set to a friend, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Another easy way to share this program is with the Chip Ingram app. Or if you'd like to talk with someone over the phone, just give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. That's 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, I know you're coming back to talk more about your message today, but you know, so many of us are experiencing a rarity in that we're actually spending more time together because we have to, which is a real blessing, but can also be a real challenge.
You know, for many of us, we've talked about, I wish we had more time. I know it's important to eat together, but, you know, we're just too busy. Sporting activities, all the demands, I travel. Well, guess what? All those things are gone. But what I know is that a lot of people don't know what to do around the table. We haven't eaten together, and we don't know how to capture those times. We at Living on the Edge absolutely want to help you make time around the table rich and deep. Spiritual, relational, and fun. We've created a new resource. It's Lote at Home Mealtime. And we want to help you around those meals develop great relationships with one another and great relationships with the Lord.
Okay, short and sweet. You'll find Lote at Home when you go to livingontheedge.org or the Chip Ingram app. The mealtime ideas for fun, spiritual, encouraging times around the table are right there. You'll also see personal coaching from Chip on how to get into Scripture in a way that makes sense, and you'll see updates on our Facebook Live events, which are a way for you to interact real-time, encouraging one another to live out your faith in these times of stress and hardship. We can't wait to meet you there. Lote at Home at livingontheedge.org or on the Chip Ingram app.
As we wrap up today's program, this is some of the most profound teaching in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul has insights by the Spirit of God into how our minds work. In fact, we are the product of our thoughts. And although I would love to say we're all very logical and linear and strategic, the fact is the great majority of our decisions and our behavior is a reaction to our emotions. And the Apostle Paul then says, okay, dwell on these things. And then he's going to list six or seven very specific things that provide a filter to say, don't think on these bad things, because viewing things, thinking on things, reading things, taking things in that are negative, ungodly, wicked, that attract your flesh, that make you want to do what's wrong, when you think and dwell on those things, it will literally play out in your behavior, and then you receive the consequences. What we currently see in the behavior of Christians, in the value of Christians, and in Christian families is a direct correlation to what we're putting in our mind. I just have to tell you, if you want your children or your grandchildren to have different kind of lives, it begins with us and what we put in our mind. Because my thoughts will produce my emotions that produce my behavior, that will produce the consequences and the outcome of my life. Can I encourage you to think very carefully about what you put in your mind?
Well, just before we close, I want to remind you about our great way to connect with us at Living on the Edge. It's called Lote at Home, L-O-T-E for Living on the Edge, and at home, because we know so many of you are. You're going to find mealtime ideas for how to have fun, thoughtful conversations around the table. You're going to find Chip's personal coaching on how to read Scripture in a way that you'll actually get something out of it. And you'll find updates on our Facebook Live events. For all of this and more, just go to livingontheedge.org or the Chip Ingram app and look for Lote at Home. Well, for everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.